Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960. The Fan.
Oh my God, here we go. I've been doing radio for about 30 years, but I'm a little nervous. I have not been on the air in a long, long time. Hey, everybody, it's Kelly Kirsch with Logan Gordon. Hockey Central at noon is back on the radio, online. We appreciate you hanging in there with us as we look to get hockey going pretty soon, we think. We have a lot of information, obviously, today. We've been talking about it on the morning show, and we'll continue to do so. So a busy show today. Peter Klein takes over at 1 o'clock, Steinberg in at 2 o'clock, as we still have Ryan Pinder filling in on the morning show as Boomer is away. Logan is with us. Logan, here we are, Hockey Central at noon, back on the radio, back on the air. Thanks to the guys in Toronto for helping us out for 4 months, but it's time to kind of get back to normal.
Yeah, it feels like we're on the precipice of an NHL season, perhaps, maybe CBA extension. It feels like it's time to get things back in gear and start getting ready for any kind of hockey that we might have this year.
Yeah, the play-in round and the training camps, you know, we're getting dribs and drabs. We kind of know a little bit what the hub is going to look like, or what the bubble is going to look like, and the rules and that sort of thing. And there's a bunch of them, and they've thought about it a lot. Now, if hopefully the NHL gets off to a better start than what the MLB has, because they are really struggling with tests that aren't done and not ready. And so it's been a bit of a not a smooth start for the baseball guys coming back just yet. So their spring training, or now summer training, has been not super, Logan, so far.
No, they've had a lot of problems. They've had delays in testing. They've had guys already saying that they're not even going to bother coming back for the year. Yeah. And, you know, we're talking about two hubs in the NHL where, you know, players are going to stay the whole time. Baseball's planning on traveling, and that's a pretty bold thing to be doing at this time in the current situation we're
especially
in.
Especially down in the lower 49, which or 48, I guess. Sorry. The news has not been good down there for sure. All right. Well, we're going to get a hold of Peter Labardi here in just a little bit. Going to be a busy show. Logan and I, in segment two, we'll kind of get you caught up to date on what's going on with, the rules and what's going to be happening, and some test results and that sort of thing. And maybe a little bit more, too, as to what's going on with some of the CBA information that's been coming out, what it's going to affect with the salary cap, what's it going to be with escrow, what's it going to be with the playoff pool, minimum salaries, all that kind of stuff. We got information coming out. And, of course, the news that we had a week ago or so, the draft, the number one pick is wide open, with 16 teams looking to make their mark, eight teams rather. So, all right, let's get to it. This is normally where we have the big voice guy go, now time for Peter Labardius, brought to you by the Gemini Group, blah, 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 blah. We don't have that today, but we'd like to thank the Gemini Group for hanging in there with us and back sponsoring Peter Labardius. Lou, how are you?
I am fantastic, and I thank the Gemini Group as well.
Yeah. You're looking to do some renovations or whatever, because I know people have had a little more time at home, Lou, staring at the four walls going, you know what we need,
Can we expand our rooms?
Yeah.
Can we give ourselves just a little more space, because we've been spending a lot of time with one another,
and
which in many cases, including for myself, has actually been pretty outstanding over the last few months. But, you know, like anybody else, at a certain point in time, we need a little space.
Yeah.
We need a little something.
Or a bit of a redo on a space that you have, like that.
So
give them a call for sure. Peter, so much to talk about. And full disclosure, this is my first day back at the station. I took off, I think, actually before the morning show, and those guys did. I've been working remotely for basically since March. I have come into the station at night occasionally, a couple of things I just couldn't do from home. But for the most part, it's been at the old dining room table listening to the station and going, okay, that's a good topic. And so we have so much to talk about. And we had a little pre-meeting today. And you know, Lou, there's just so much to kind of unpack when it comes to this playoff round for the Calgary Flames specifically. And let's start with the big one. You and I had a bit of a disagreement, because I said, I don't know, like, after, let's say you start this this best of five and you don't do very well and you get knocked out like a bunch of teams will, I don't think there's any shame in that. I don't think it is. I don't think this is a true test of what your team is made out of, what the character is, any of that stuff. There are just so many unknowns. I would be very cautious if I was an NHL general manager or owner to kind of go, you know, let's change it. Let's move everybody out. I just would be super nervous to do that. You maybe don't see it that way. You maybe look at it as an opportunity for players.
Well, I do see it as an opportunity for absolute sure. And I think, Kelly, when I've tried to analyze and assess, and I don't completely disagree with you, because I think whenever we're about to make any difficult decision, you know, what you really have to think about is when is it time to assess and when isn't it? And even after talking to you this morning, you know, I wouldn't say that you moved the needle for me 100%, but you probably moved it 25% in terms of what you're looking at. But here's also the other side for me. What I love about this potential playoff, whether it's Flames or anyone else, is there is a lot of outside things to think about. And I liken this situation a lot to what we've seen, except on such a way bigger scale, a 24-team scale, to what preparations would be like for those elite people involved in World Cup situations.
Yeah.
So your summer is different. You know, you have to make different decisions. But what I love, Kelly, is that while some would say this isn't the time to assess, in some ways for me it is.
Okay.
Because if I can fight my way through and be focused and really not allow all the outside stuff, and there's going to be a lot of outside stuff, and it's going to change every day depending on health, how you can handle the bubble, guys who are completely in or who aren't completely in. But I truly believe more than ever, Kelly, the teams that are successful are going to have the people on their team that truly are there to win a championship and find a way to be better than their opponents.
Yeah. Block all that stuff out, right?
Block all of
all
that
the noise.
Stuff out.
Yep.
Yes. You know, so, you know, listen, if you're Brad Treleving, and I can't, you know, I mean, I would love to have that conversation, and, you know, we'll probably get a feel at some point in time, is, you know, the Calgary Flames are in such a unique situation because had the season not stopped in March and everything, you know, think about it, we would be having some kind of free agent conversation at this point, right? Under normal circumstances, and you'd be asking me, hey, Lou,
I'd be in Croatia right now, Lou, what I'd be doing.
Okay.
But
okay, I'd probably be somewhere else myself, but you're right, so we wouldn't be. But the point is that we are. And I really truly believe that when I think about the matchup and I think about any team, is when do you determine with your core group when it's time?
Yeah.
And maybe for Brad and the Calgary Flames, because for Kelly Kirsch, this probably wouldn't be a time to properly assess.
No.
But for me, I'm not willing not to go there, because in terms of this is a team that needs to find a way to take another step. And for me, taking another step is by winning some series at the most important and critical time. And it's not going to be easy. But I still truly believe in my heart of hearts that we can say, okay, let's not take a lot of, you know, stock in this. And maybe that's exactly how the Flames will go. But in some ways, because I think this might be an even greater test, and Kelly, we agree on a lot of stuff, including this, I believe. And that is, I always, when I analyze anything and analyze sport, I start and a lot of times finish with, how do you do when it's hard? Well, for every single reason, this tournament is going to be hard mentally, personally, professionally. What's on the line? No fans. You name it. It's different.
Oh, for sure.
So if you can succeed and find a way under these situations, I think you've unlocked something.
We're chatting with Peter Labardius. It is the return of Hockey Central at noon right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Okay, Logan Gordon, get in here. I don't think that the body of work after this playoff run, be it even one or two rounds, is enough for teams, whether it's Calgary or somebody else, to make monumental changes. Peter feels the other way. Where do you come out on this?
I would say that I think that I probably lean more to Peter's side on this, especially for the local team, because I think we got a sense last year when things were difficult in the playoffs that, you know, this team struggled and had to learn from adversity, and we saw it up and down in what was already a weird season for the Flames, you know, throughout the regular season, whether it was the coaching change or all the COVID stuff, the TJ Brody situation. We saw all that adversity then, and, you know, this is just another level of adversity, whether it's the play-in round or round one. I think that there's still enough, you know, this group's been around long enough that I think that the GM can probably make a fairly well-informed decision as to where he feels his group is when it comes to adversity and tough times after, you know, even if it is just the play-in round against Winnipeg. We weren't talking about a Winnipeg series in March. You know, that's a very tough team to jump into a five-game series with.
Well, for
things
sure
are tough right off the start for Calgary.
There's so many things to consider, and so I'm going to give you guys a cliche, and then I'll give you a little bit of maybe one of those things you'd get at one of those retreats where they put stuff up on a whiteboard. So here's the cliche. In the playoffs, your best players have to be your best players. So there's a cliche. And the other one is potential minus interference equals performance. And what we're talking about, guys, is talking about the Flames' best players, their best offensive players and best defensive players and goaltenders, elevating their game after they've been off since March in a best of five situation with all the other things going on around the world and in hockey. Do it without any fans, just like all the other teams are going. This is going to be truly interesting. And Peter, you and I, we had our pre-meeting. There are about 15 different things. You can be going along just fine as a team, and all of a sudden you're going to get a knock on the door saying, this guy's out, this guy's out, this guy's out. Oh, okay. Well, that's no good going into game five of a best of five. Or you could have the opposite happen to you where the team that you're playing, it's like, oh boy, we're in a tough,
right.
Oh, their goalie can't play because of this thing going on. And then what it does to them mentally, right? What it does to the players and the team mentally, you know, when some of your guys get knocked out and you start thinking about things. Lou, there are a lot of different layers to this onion.
Well, based on evaluating and even through the process of this conversation to maybe come to a middle ground in terms of our thinking. So kids who have been going to school have been doing it online. And my understanding, and Kelly, you would have an even better understanding in your household than I would about that, at least in part. But in a lot of cases, you don't lose marks, but you can gain marks.
Yeah.
And I see this in a somewhat similar way in terms of evaluating and assessing, because I can't, let me put this crystal clear. I'm not going to completely assess like I normally would, because there are too many different situations that can arise. But I'm not going to discount against my opponent, and as long as health and other things don't change teams' lineups, then I still am going to use it as a pretty significant part of my assessment. So, no, you know, here's another quick analogy. I'm not going to scout a player. I'm not going to scout a player and determine that because of what happens in three games that he's going to completely win me over or he's going to lose me. But, gents, here's part of it for the Calgary Flames. I'm not going to make decisions if I'm Brad or the staff based on whatever happens in the playoffs, one way or another. But it is going to go into my body of work. And what will make it even more difficult is if people who have, let's say, struggled in certain hard situations, if I don't at least see progress in those areas, I'm not going to discount that either.
Yeah.
If I'm being clear.
That's fair. Logan, there's lots of things that could go right for a team. There's lots of things that could go wrong for a team when you look at this play-in round. What are the things that make you kind of go, oh boy, what if this happens? What if that happens? What are your keys to kind of wondering on a team's success and to get through that first round?
Well, I think a lot of it for me is going to be preparation and, you know, I think even injury prevention to a degree here. I've been through lockouts and shortened seasons and all that sort of stuff. But I mean, you talk about guys going from 70 games played in the regular season to just stopping for, you know, 3 months.
And then starting
again. And then starting up again, especially, you know, we've heard the rule that they mentioned last night that you're going to have unlimited goalies. I think that's a big worry for a guy. You know, how easy would it be to pull a groin or to, you know, overexert yourself coming back here? I think all of that has to go into it. And I think, like Peter mentioned, I think a lot of what we didn't see is going to come into this in ways that we might not notice right away, right? If your guys come in and everybody's spent their time the right way waiting for this to come back and they've prepared the right way, you might not notice that because your team's just healthy and you're moving on. But the teams that maybe struggle in different areas and that sort of thing, maybe you look back at that and they say, wow, maybe we weren't as prepared for this as we should have been. And, you know, maybe during the break we should have been training more and not just, you know, having the time off and waiting to see what happens sort of thing. So that would be a concern for me, especially because just starting and stopping like this is something I think is very hard to do.
Yeah, Peter, I don't know how much stock we can put into what the guys have done without being around their teammates. If they're, you know, whether you're sitting in Calgary or you're sitting in, you know, Stockholm, Sweden or wherever, in the middle of a pandemic, there was times where people just couldn't do anything, and you certainly couldn't skate at an NHL level. I just don't know how anybody was going to replicate that.
Kelly, for me, it's mindset. It's mindset, it's leadership, and it's accountability. Those, to me, are three really, really key areas, because I truly believe the people who are so determined more than ever to see this experience and make the most of it, and the only thing that matters to your people is winning, I like your chances of winning. And players who have the ability to guide and lead and keep people accountable to that goal are going to be the teams that are successful. Taking in account, you know, hot goaltending and everything that goes hand in hand. But to me, this is going to be about your will to win. I really believe that. And do you have, because why do teams win? Teams win because they have a culture and they have standards. And it's not acceptable to do anything but to live up to those standards. It is generally why a lot of teams in sports, you find the same people who are leading those teams. It's not a coincidence that they seem to handle those situations incredibly well. Yeah. They're good at it. They thrive in it. They can't wait for it. They live for it.
And the opposite is true.
Yes.
There's guys that just never seem, over the NHL or whatever sport you want to talk about, that they just never seem to. There was a reason why Sportsnet put on the, you know, 86 and 89 Stanley Cup finals and not, you know, mid-season in 86 or 94 or whatever. You know, like,
correct.
It was, you know, that's when people come to play, and I just think it's such a different thing, guys, with all the different things at play, the mental stuff about, you know, we're going to play in this bubble and we're going to be in this hotel and we're going to have to practice together and get it together in a short amount of time. We might be playing at weird times. There's this whole COVID thing kind of circling around us. You don't know. It's like, oh, the guy driving the Zamboni, is he okay? Like, there's going to be stuff like that, like we all are thinking right now when we go out in public, right? And they're humans too. And I just wonder, there's the physical stuff, and then I guess there's the mental stuff too, Peter.
Well, that to me, it's never going to be more important, the mental stuff. I am so convinced, and with all the reading and research and things I've thought about in every aspect of life over the last couple of years, and that's probably even for me gone up tenfold during COVID, is just mindset and where, like, what are you focused on? And that to me, more than anything, is what it's going to boil down to. Is the noise going to get in the road? Are you going to sit there in your hotel room at night and be focused, and your whole work is going to be about, you know, beating your opponent the next day? How are you going to handle this? How are you going to handle it individually? How are you going to handle it as a group when you don't have the same kind of freedoms? When everything is different. If I've learned anything in my life the last couple of years, it's just that. When our mindset is in a really productive place, some pretty awesome things happen. But when your mindset goes to places of, you know, what could go wrong or what could happen, rather than being productive and how you can make something happen, that's the difference. And I really believe that. I believe it in business. I believe it in relationships. I believe it in sports. I believe it in everywhere. Now, am I going to tell you that I think it's easy to execute? No, it isn't.
Yeah.
But the people in all of those situations who take that mindset and they have the ability to do, not just think, but to do, they're the effective ones.
Yeah.
And that's what you're looking for from your people. And, you know, and the other thing is, guys, that can't be lost. Think about Mark Giordano, the captain of this team, doesn't have a ton of playoff experience. He's going to turn 37 October the 3rd. Like, this is big stuff. If you're Blake Wheeler, the captain and 34-year-old of the Winnipeg Jets, you only get so many chances to win a Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's how come I got a feeling that we're going to see some of those, we're going to see some upsets, and we're going to see some names from the past, like Taves and Kane and people like that, that are just going to kind of go, okay, we got this. I just think if you're a gambler, and I think a lot of people are, that there might be a bit of a, there might be some upsets. And I don't even know if they would be upsets at this stage.
Well, Jonathan Taves. So just, you know, and again, this would probably be popular in our marketplace, but I've thought about it, including having a conversation with a dear friend of mine, Ken Weeb, in Winnipeg yesterday. Jonathan Taves and Patrick Kane, you have just given those gentlemen a big life raft. You don't think Jonathan Taves hasn't spent the last couple of months thinking about being in Connor McDavid's back pocket?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he has.
Yeah.
And he knows how to do it too.
Yeah. So that's that. Logan, I don't think they would even, would you be surprised if there's a bunch of upsets here? I mean, I wouldn't
be at all. And I think that, you know, when you mention guys like Taves and Kane, and there's, you know, so many of them throughout the league, is, and we know the mentality that those sort of guys have, and the will to win that they have. And, you know, and I think that's why there were so many people in Edmonton that sat there and went, man, Chicago in the first round. And it's not because Chicago was the juggernaut that we're used to seeing them, you know, all these times. But you know that when you face 19 and 88 against Chicago and, you know, other guys like that throughout the league, you know there's no easy give from those guys. You're not going to get an easy shift against Jonathan Taves or Patrick Kane. You always have to be ready to go, because those are the special guys in the game, right? Those are the guys that you want on your team. Those are the guys you want leading you, and those are the guys that you don't have any doubt about coming back from this sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know why they're special? Because in this day and age, and I understand all of it, well, special sometimes means stats. Special sometimes means ability. Special sometimes means salary. You know what those guys have done that's special?
Win.
They've won.
Everything, yeah.
Everything. And now, let's not forget the other side. The other side is, if you're McDavid and Draisaitl leading the way for your team,
here's our opportunity.
You have an incredible opportunity. You have another opportunity as a young person to learn and to do better. And frankly, your team, you know, is the favored team and the higher seed for a reason. But again, that's why I cannot wait, if indeed the puck ever does get dropped. And until it does, I kind of need to see it first. And I'm more excited today than I was yesterday as we move closer and tentative things, and even potentially for everybody, how exciting would it be to have a new 6-year CBA signed still to deliver? That's pretty darn exciting if you're in the hockey business. But yeah, to me, this is about hockey players who love hockey, and it's about winning.
Yeah.
Well, and I would jump in on that point to you, Lou, just because it's you, and I know you, and not only is it exciting for a 6-year CBA, but the potential for Olympic participation.
Oh.
I can't even sit here and a year ago, you know, sit here and think that we would be in a point where these two sides were A, close to a long-term agreement, and B, close to Olympic participation in all of it. It seems like such a great silver lining in all of this.
Well, in all sincerity, it's really important to give kudos where kudos are deserved. I think sometimes we forget that, and publicly the positive stuff isn't portrayed. If this league, meaning the NHL, can come through COVID and everything that they're dealing with logistically, financially, and actually find a way, you know how I talked about using your time productively?
Mm-hmm.
Well, to do that and potentially get to that kind of place for your game at the most difficult time, that's huge applause. Because guess what? We've seen evidence from other sports, i.e. Major League Baseball, that it hasn't been very productive.
No.
So kudos to owners, players, Donald Fehr, Gary Bettman, all the key people that have been involved. You can come out of this thing and give yourself brand new labor peace for 6 years. And in understanding why, you'd probably want to tie certain things down too. I get that part. But again, give credit where credit is due. If you can come out of this even more unified than you have been in the past, that's an amazing win as far as I'm concerned.
We have so much to talk about. We're doing this every day this week, so we didn't have to kind of go through it all, but there's a lot to talk about. We haven't even talked about the draft. I want to pick your brain on that. And
yeah,
we've got that first overall pick floating out there in Calgary's.
Team X.
Yeah, Team X is going to be somebody. So we're going to talk about that a little bit tomorrow and get a little bit more into these into the protocols and that sort of thing. And, you know, as we get closer to it, we'll start talking about the Jets and Flames. But I think we got some ground to cover before then. So we'll let you enjoy the rest of your day, Peter. We'll talk to you tomorrow, same time, right here on Sportsnet 960, brought to you by our great partners at Gemini.
Well, it's awesome to be back. Awesome to be talking hockey on a regular basis. And let's hope by maybe next week we're even talking about training camp stuff.
There we go. All right, Lou, we'll talk tomorrow.
Thanks, guys.
There we go. Hey, tune in every weekday right until the 24th of this month for your chance to win a box of Upper Deck hockey cards. We'll choose the card of the day, which will give you clues to which famous athlete is on the card. If you think you know it, just text in your guess to 960-960. One winner will be drawn per day from correct guesses, and the cards will be sent directly to your house. So we kind of take care of that. This week, be listening on the Scott Rintoul Show, 10 to noon. And the next week after that, it'll be Boomer in the Morning. So kind of fun. Upper Deck, collect the best. home of the world's greatest athletes. Visit upperdeckstore.com. We'll take a break. Logan and I will unpack a little bit about what we've been learning about the bubble and what's happening with the NHL, and talk to you about what the plan is for Hockey Central and some of the programming going forward. That is coming up right here on Hockey Central Noon, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hockey Central at Noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Kelly Kirsch and Logan Gorton making way for Peter Klein in at 1 o'clock, right till 2, and then Pat Steinberg is in as we get a little bit back to normal, I guess, when it comes to programming. We started bright and early at 5 o'clock with the best of, and 5:30 with the morning show, and then Scott Rintoul back earlier today at 10 o'clock, right till noon. We'll do Hockey Central, and the guys will take you home in the afternoon, and hopefully get some play-by-play on Logan in the next little while. Looking for a schedule of some sort. I heard Major League Baseball was going to send one out, but that I'll believe it when I see it. You know, that's kind of what we're doing right now, basically.
Yeah, it sounds like they're going to have an announcement tonight on MLB Network with their 60-game schedule. So at least we'll get
who's playing where,
the dates, and who's
where. The Jays might be starting in Florida, which is interesting.
Yeah, well, the latest news from the Blue Jays is that they actually had to leave 12 guys back in Florida anyways. Due to one positive COVID test that they had come back, and he had contact with these 12 players. So who knows? Maybe by the time they wind up going to Florida, they'll get some of their teammates to rejoin them stuck in Dunedin.
This is going to be interesting. So the NHL has been busy over the last few days working out all kinds of things that might lead into some real peace when it comes to the CBA and a real nice roadmap going forward. On the short term, they've kind of basically talked about some rules when it comes to the bubble or bubbles, one in Toronto and one in Edmonton. So they've done 2,600 or 2,900 tests, Logan, and on 396 players, and 23 have come back positive. So that's interesting. So, I mean, the testing seems to be working so far, and they came up with this memorandum of understanding, or the MOU, as we like to call it. And they talk about the secure zone and some interesting things. Each team will have 52 people. That's everybody. That's owners, players, coaches, staff, that kind of stuff. 31 players max. And if you're a player and you just don't feel right in playing, you'd have to probably let them know on July 13th. Each team will have like one doctor, one security person. They're not going to mess around. They're going to have like compliance officers. And if you are not in compliance with any of these rules, you're in big trouble. They're going to test everybody every day. So that is a ton of, like in 10 days, probably like 20,000 tests. And the thing that I noticed that when you're in the hotel there, we stayed up there. We did a road trip back in December, which seems like a million years ago, up in Edmonton, that everybody's going to have to wear a mask when they're not on the ice or doing an interview, basically. That's interesting.
Yeah, and look, there's a lot to this that they came through. I would recommend anybody who wants the details to head to sportsnet.ca, and Chris Johnston, our NHL insider, does a really good job of breaking it down, everything from, you know, players wanting to opt out, what the testing is going to look like, the boundaries, like you mentioned, in the secure zone, an exact breakdown of who and how many players are going to be there, all that sort of stuff, even to where how they're going to eat and all these sort of things. So, and then, you know, like everything going from contact tracing to what happens if there are positive tests, what can you leave the bubble for? What's acceptable for you and how you can come back from that sort of thing. So there's so much to this. It's really interesting stuff. It's stuff that we needed to figure out and we needed to know. And it gives us a really good inside look at what this whole thing is going to be like for these players in, you know, a couple weeks time, actually.
If you think about being focused and you're kind of, you know, held up in a hotel room for a big chunk of the day, and then you go and work out and you practice, I mean, you can just really laser focus. They always talk about like eliminating the distractions. Well, that's exactly what's going to be happening there. You know, one or two big hotels downtown Edmonton and all these guys just trying to hone in on what they're doing. And I guess the MLB probably had, they thought they had the testing down too, but they've had a lot of problems with just not getting tests to this company in Utah that's supposed to be doing it. They're supposed to be the ones that
they said, yeah, we can test it in a day, but you need to get the test to our building. And that was part of the problem. It's like, well, that seems like a logistics issue. That like you can't don't have FedEx or whoever on speed dial or UPS. Like that's that seems very strange. So you'd like to think that with the bubble situation, it should be easier, right? I mean, you're dealing with two locations, not, you know, 30 some.
Well, and I don't know this for sure, but I would assume that there is some sort of testing facility in Edmonton and Toronto, probably as part of this whole thing that the NHL looked at as a place where they can quickly get test results back. Because like you said, you're going to need them almost, you know, as back as quickly as you can, because once games start, you know, you got to start, you know, if guys have to be taken out, if guys have to be, you know, who they were training with, all that sort of stuff has to happen pretty fast. And like you said, you can't do like what baseball's been doing, you know, Friday tests haven't come back until Monday afternoon. Well, that's just not going
to
work.
No, not when you're trying to practice every day. You can drive yourself crazy with the what if situation. What if this happens? What if that happens? Well, what if that happens? But really, you have to have a, you know, a bit of a plan, but you don't have to maybe think about everything all at once. You just, as a player, all you got to do is try and stay as healthy as you can and try and bone up on your skills and be as mentally sharp as you can. I don't think there's anything else you can do as a player, Logan.
No, I really don't. And I mean, I can't sit here and say that there's anything the NHL, I think, has missed. There's always going to be risk involved with this sort of thing. But I think that once you're inside this bubble area and stuff, I think you've got to assume that the NHL is doing everything they can to make it as safe as they can for you. And you maybe be safer in that bubble scenario than you would be if you lived in a place like Florida or somewhere where, you know, it's the testing's getting out of control and the case numbers are kind of flying up. So for some guys, maybe they'll wind up feeling safer in this and they'll be able to focus on the game a little bit more and what's at hand. And I really think once games get going and this whole process gets underway, I think that it should move fairly successfully. I mean, there's never say never in this scenario.
No, like, I mean, we're reinventing things as we go along, and like just following the different, you know, in the last 4 months, and I'm sure everybody else will agree, is that when you're trying to you can get overwhelmed with all the information about COVID, right? So you kind of have to watch it, otherwise you could just drown in it. And then it depends on which media outlet you're watching or listening or checking out online, because they've been really, really different. So this is, and I imagine that, you know, the players and the coaches and the management are all kind of the same. Like, they, you know, they read the same stuff we do, right? So one day you hear this story and then you hear this story the next day and then something else makes the news run. So it just makes it a little bit more confusing. So they're doing the best they can. And I think, just, you know, everybody, you know, that's a hockey fan just wants to see some real games, right? Like, just somehow, some way, and then we'll see where it goes after that. I think it's awesome that they're, you know, hashing out this CBA and getting some more labor peace, because, after we get through this crazy COVID, the last thing we needed in 18 months or whatever would be another work stoppage. That would just be a disaster. So they're working on it. They're, you know, figuring out things, whether it's, you know, the salary cap staying at $81.5 million and what the escrow is going to be next year at 20%, and it goes to 14 to 18% for the season afterwards. Like, they're doing things, you know, bits and pieces, and some interesting things in there too, like the no trade clause will move with the player if he waives it, that kind of thing. And there's a few salary cap things for like 35-year-old players or an up that sign contracts, and it won't necessarily go against the cap of the team going forward. So there's, if he retires, that is. So there's some interesting stories to get into this once it's all finalized. And I guess that's obviously what we're waiting for, Logan.
Yeah, we feel like we're just a couple of days away from it. And it's kind of interesting that they've tied the two together, that they're going to, you know, once the return to play stuff is approved and the CBA stuff's ready for final voting, it'll all go together and it'll kind of be hand in hand with, you know, the official, you know, go ahead for the remainder of this season and the official go ahead for labor peace and future seasons, which is, you know, so big when you're going to talk about all the revenue that they've lost this year without having playoffs and not finishing the regular season. To have a league, you know, focused on its future and having that sort of stuff settled going forward, I think is is really interesting that the league's been able to do this, because I wouldn't have guessed hockey would be the first league to do it.
No.
They would have been very low on my list.
For hockey to make some inbounds if the other leagues are going to be shutting down, or and who knows with, you know, what happens with them, but there's a few of them that don't look very good right now. NFL and MLB look like they're on a collision course, but who knows what happens. They can maybe get it turned around, but that's great news. The other story I think that hockey fans are really interested in is we all sat around and we had it simulcast here on this radio station as we had the draft lottery. And I don't know, I thought it was going to be, you know, one of the lower teams. It would just go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And, you know, and then as Bill Daly's, you know, the old accountant guy with his nice suit comes out, and I go, boy, that looks like 8 cards. It looks higher than, you know, and sure enough, oh, well, I got an announcement to make. It's like, whoo. And as they went through it, very interesting. So 12.5% is your chance to win that if you're one of the 8 teams that are knocked out. It's not bad.
No, somebody could have a serious silver lining in losing a play-in round that you weren't necessarily going to, you know, have. Like, I mean, I know we all talk, me and Peter Klein have talked about this last week even, you know, the worst-case scenarios around here are, you know, everyone shudders when you hear a first overall pick in potentially Edmonton or, you know, you think about Pittsburgh or Toronto and you sit there and go, man, those are a couple teams that really couldn't use Lafreniere. Like, you guys don't need him, but here we are in a situation where, you know, a 5-game series could go pretty quick, and then all of a sudden you have a 1-in-8 chance at the first overall pick, and there's some teams that wouldn't be in this scenario if it wasn't for the weird COVID season. There's a ton of intrigue, and I can only imagine what's going to happen if a pretty highly ranked team, like you mentioned in with our hit with Lou, what if there's a couple upsets and there's teams in this that are all of a sudden looking at a gift-wrapped first overall pick? Man, that is going to be some wild, wild watching when we get down to that second draft lottery.
And everyone's talking about the number one pick, and Lafreniere is, you know, big guy, 6'1", going to get bigger and stronger.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to take the blinders off and see what kind of player he really is. But if he falls to you and you're a playoff team and no chance did you think you were going to get him, that is a gift from the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Like, unbelievable. If you could make that, and if you got a few other guys in the pipeline that you're waiting on and you're developing, and they're coming along at the same time. Like, whoa, that could change your team's that could take you from pretty good team to we got this, or we can trade somebody and get rid of somebody that's making too much money. There's all kinds of options for you if you win that pick.
Well, and it was funny, we had the conversation is, would we be having this sort of talk if it was the, you know, the third overall pick or the fourth overall pick that Team X had?
No, it's just sexy to say that. I mean, the Kings get 2. Senators 3 and 5, and Detroit, which we had Mike Commodore on earlier this morning, and he said his contacts in Detroit, they weren't happy. They knew it was going to be tough slugging to get the number one, but they were so bad in the regular season, and to slip to number 4, that sucks, right, for a team that's had all that success and they're trying to rebuild. But, you know, although you're going to get a pretty good player at number 4, but you're certainly not going to get what you really were after when you're losing all those games and putting in a pretty awful effort down the stretch for the Detroit Red Wings. So this will be very interesting to see. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then I'm going to reset, kind of tell you what the plan is a little bit for what's moving forward here, and also tee up what Peter Klein has. He's ready to go at 1 o'clock as Hockey Central. It's our first show in a while. We're back at it, and we'll wrap the show next right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Here we go. It is Monday, July the 6th, and our first show is just about done. We are back at it. What a few months it's been around here and around the world and around Calgary. I will say that downtown Calgary still pretty slow, Logan, but you've been coming in for quite a while, and you're saying that it's actually picked up since March and April and May.
Yeah, this is like busy time around here now. This is way busier than it was a few months ago. It was a ghost town. If you saw anybody downtown walking around,
really?
Or, enjoy. I mean, when this all started, it was still pretty cold out, but given the fact that now that there's actually people walking around and doing stuff, it's a big difference to what it used to be.
Interesting, because it's about a quarter of what it normally is, I think. So, interesting times. And I'll tell you, I'll appreciate everybody listening in when they can to Sportsnet 960 The Fan. The question that, you know, we all get is like, hey, what are you guys doing with no sports? It's like, oof. You know, and I'll tell you, I'm very proud of everybody around here working so hard to make content and have some fun. The morning guys with their crazy bracket challenges, and they've done it all, and it's been so fun, and the audience participating, and you know, and Pat and Peter and you guys in the afternoon doing all kinds of neat stuff and redrafts and interesting interviews, and it's been real interesting and real good radio. I think it's going to make everybody stronger. I wouldn't recommend it for anybody to go through it, but that's how that goes. So what we've done is, you know, we obviously had, you know, our 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. slot, just basically Toronto takeover. But we put Scott Rintoul back on the radio with a show that is B.C. and Alberta-based. And he'll go 10 to noon weekdays. We'll keep doing this show, Hockey Central, at noon. We've got Eric DeHatchuk back tomorrow. So he's Tuesdays, Thursdays. I think we've got Corey Sarch ready to go on Wednesday. Brent Cron, I think, is coming on Friday as well. Of course, Labardius always starts the show off, and we just kind of go off on a tangent with him. We'll just wind up Lou and do that. So that's kind of the plan. We're going to try and get as much baseball on as possible. So what we really need is a schedule to figure out what's happening with the Blue Jays, with the Flames, with the other NHL games. So we're going to go as much as we went from 1,000 miles an hour, Logan, to like zero back in March. We're hoping it goes the opposite way and gets busy in a hurry, where we have baseball and hockey coming at you big time and loading into the NFL, hopefully in September. Lots has to happen there, and I think everybody's got a good amount of cynicism when it comes to this, because we've seen things and how they change, and literally making a long term plan kind of silly. So we're kind of just going short term, and that's maybe the best way to do it. So that's kind of what's happening around here. And what do you got planned for 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock, Logan?
We're gonna have Peter Klein taking over for the 1 o'clock. We're gonna talk some UFC there with John Pollock.
No.
Yeah, I know. Peter Klein, not a big UFC guy, not known. Well,
you'll have
for,
to carry that interview, hey?
I'm really gonna have to bone up and get ready for that one.
Yeah. PK's just gonna just
He's already phoning it in.
Okay.
Really, which is unbelievable.
So UFC.
Yeah, pretty big fight announcement change over the last few days here for their upcoming event in their Fight Island in Abu Dhabi. So I still find that absolutely insane, but sure, they're going to go ahead and do it. And so Peter Klein going to be all over that. And then Pat Steinberg back from some well-deserved time off.
He was out in Banff, that crazy man.
I know. Look at him enjoying our beautiful backyard.
A little staycation for Patrick. Good for him.
So he'll get back with us, and we'll jump into some of the stuff he missed over the week. And Greg Wyshynski from ESPN going to join us to talk about all this crazy NHL news coming down over the weekend.
Yeah, there's some big stuff with the NHL. There's some big stuff with the MLB. And we'll cover it all for you as we get ready. PK's ready to go from the apartment with the cats next, right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.